Book of Mark, chapter number 9, is where we left off here last week, and been dealing with the last couple of weeks about how we can have no for sure about our eternal security and the importance of not losing our assurance of salvation, because there have been times in our lives where we have lost our assurance of salvation due to our lifestyle and how we live for Christ or not live for Christ. And I've transitioned that into the importance of prayer and fasting. And these are some two things that was practiced not only in the Old Testament, but is practiced in the New Testament. And I believe it's something that needs to be practiced in our lives. If Christ took the time to do these things and show us the importance of these things, should we not do these as well? I believe so. And all God's people said, amen. See, I'm getting you folks to talk. And that's a good thing. I'm going to ask you guys a question this morning. I'm a little bit different from my dad. You all know that. And that's okay. You don't want the same people, right? And there are some things that I like to do from time to time. And I like class participation. Who likes class participation? I got one person. The rest of you are still asleep. And so I like to ask questions from time to time, and sometimes it's like pulling teeth. It's not, no one likes to raise their hand in the morning service, and I understand those things. And some people think that I might be asking them a trick question, and they're going to give me an answer. I'm going to say you're wrong, and I'm not going to do those things to you. But I'm going to ask you a question this morning, and just voluntarily raise your hand. How many of you have been saved for at least 10 years? Okay, during your first 10 years of salvation, who can remember their prayer that they prayed to Christ that day? You can remember those prayers. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Okay, I said 10 years, so we can probably say 20 years. Who's been 20? 30? 40? We've got some young folks in here today. I'm not going to go above 50. I don't want to offend anybody. But we've all been, by a raise of hands, we've showed that we've been saved for quite some time. How many of you, and let's be honest with ourselves, because I want to be honest with you too, how many of you during that time that your prayer life has suffered dramatically? Mine has done that many times. How many times during those 10 years that we have just put up monotonous prayers without any meaning? Done that. See, we need to understand our prayer time is so important to our Lord and Savior. And I'm not trying to tell you how to pray, and I'm not trying to tell you to figure out new ways to pray, because that's not up to me. Your relationship with God is different than my relationship with God. And we all pray differently. But I want you to understand something this morning. We need to have that prayer time with our Lord and Savior. And if Jesus took the time out while he was here on earth to pray to his Heavenly Father, and he prayed with such intent, and he prayed with such purpose, and he had such desire in his prayer, should that not be the same type of prayer guideline that we should be applying to our lives? I believe it should be. Prayer is something that I believe gets overlooked in a lot of times in our lives. How many of you, and let's be honest with ourselves, life is going good. Everything around us is great. We have no problems. We have no issues in life. And those are generally the times that our prayer life begins to suffer, because we see that everything's great. And we forget about, hey, I need to take the time to pray. When do we normally most go into deep prayer? Can anybody just answer that question? Jeff? Morning? Tom, you had your hand up? When we have problems in life. Anybody else? When you feel like there's no answers, no hope. We've all been there. And those are the times that we really gravitate towards God. We call those times in our life the valley. do we not? And there are some, we've heard of some great messages about the valley, but do we not forget about the God who is in our lives in the valley, who's going through with us during those times? He's the God that's on the mountaintop with us. The same God that delivers you through those valleys is the same God that's taking the time when you're on that mountaintop is blessing your life. And so if he has delivered you from certain situations and you've gone through that valley and now you're on that mountaintop, should our prayer life even be more intense? I believe it should be. Because after all, he has delivered us from some situations that we saw no way out. We saw no hope. We had no answers. Those times of mourning that we did not think that we would ever get through in our lives. And those are some dark valleys that every one of us in here has faced in our life. But even during those times, we transition from the valley, and we begin to walk up that mountain once again. And at the bottom of the valley, our prayer life begins to be really great with the Lord, and God's starting to deliver us from those things. And then we start walking up that mountain, and our prayer life throughout the time as we're walking towards the top, our prayer life begins to suffer. And then we walk back down that mountain. We're back there in that valley. Then we once again see the need to have that prayer time with God. Let's not forget about the God when we're on the mountaintop. Because that's the time for us to even be more intense, to be more desirous of our prayers, to seek a more intimate relationship with him. And I believe every single one of us that are in here this morning needs to take more time in our life with God. I've used this illustration many times, and I'm going to use it again today, and I know we might get sick of this, and you might sit there and think that it's silly, but I've been married for 21 years. I'll be going on 22 years here in January, and I haven't forgotten. But just imagine from day one that we met, and I met her at a young age, at the age of 12, and most of you might not know the story, but I knew when I first met her that I was going to marry her. I didn't know how, I didn't know when, but I knew I was going to marry her someday. And God graciously granted me that great gift in my life, and I was able to marry my wife, and we have had a great relationship. But just imagine for a second, if I got married on January the 6th of 1995, I told my wife that I loved her, and I gave her a kiss that day, and from that day forward, I never once sought again to tell her that I loved her and to be able to communicate with her. Do you not think that my marriage would be in trouble this morning? My marriage would probably be on the rocks. And so we see the importance of having that open communication with our spouse and how important that is to be able to have that one-on-one time with each other, to have that quiet time with one another, because that is so important in our lives. And that's something that we honestly, let's be honest with ourselves. We begin to do that to our Lord and Savior. We begin to shut him out, and we begin to close the doors on him. We might not recognize it at the time, but if you're to look back on certain areas and certain situations of your life, you can probably see that. Because I can look back in my life and I can see where I began to shut the door on God. And I begin to say, you know what? I don't really see the importance of having my one-on-one time with him. And so then I would take another step and I'd say, you know, I don't really see the importance of waking up and praying to God. And then I go even further in my life and I would sit there and say, I don't really see the importance of having a relationship with God. And so because of those decisions that we make in our life will affect our relationship not only with others, not only with your spouse, but it affects your relationship with your Lord and Savior. And I can't stress to you enough this morning that the God who created this world into existence, who literally spoke everything into existence, who is the King of everything, wants to have a relationship with you. He seeks that. He wants to have a relationship with you like no other. But we are the ones who hold back on those relationships. And I think it goes back to an area in our life where we might not see the importance of prayer in our life. Again, I can't stress to you enough, if I was not to talk to my wife on a daily basis and tell her that my love for her, and she was to tell her love for me, our relationship would suffer. And that's where God wants us to be with Him. He wants us to be so intimate with Him. And we can be intimate with God in our prayers. And we look here in the book of Mark of chapter 9, verse number 29. We read of the story of the spirit that was being cast out of this man, of this father's child here. And the Lord, first of all, they went to the disciples, and we saw that the disciples could not cast out this dumb spirit. And we read here, we go down to verse number 29 or 28, it says, "And when he was coming to the house, his disciples asked him privately, 'Why could not we cast him out?' And he said unto them, 'This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting.'" Jesus took the time to pray, did he not? Jesus understood the importance of prayer, and I will deal with fasting later. I might get to it today, I might not get to it today. You guys know how I am, and that's okay. But he stressed the importance here. This can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. Lord, I know some of us have heavy hearts. Lord, I pray this morning that you would begin to work and begin to move in this midst. Lord, help us to see how important it is to have the prayer life that we need to have with you. Lord, I pray that you begin to work, begin to move amongst your people. Lord, I pray this morning that you would bestow your wisdom, you bestow your knowledge upon me this morning as I begin to teach your word. And I ask you these things in your name. Amen. This can come forth by prayer and fasting. So we see here, we ended up, I asked a question last week, just going to rehearse a little bit. Why weren't the disciples able to cast out the bad spirit? Why wasn't Jesus sought before the disciples? Jesus answered those questions because they weren't fasting and praying at this time. And I left off with this, they didn't see the need to fast and to pray. Why? I went to Scripture because they were with Jesus Christ. And so because they were with Jesus Christ, they didn't see the need to do these things. It wasn't until after that the Holy Spirit came upon him in the book of Acts chapter 2, or the book of Acts chapter 1, I'm getting confused in my mind right now, I think it's chapter 2, where the Holy Spirit comes upon them. And that's when their lives begin to change, and then that's when you begin to see the disciples be able to do some great things. Not because of them, but because the Holy Spirit was empowered upon them. And now I'm going to ask you a question this morning. How are you and I to pray? Anybody? Class participation. How are you and I to pray? Tom?
Without ceasing.
Without ceasing.
With thanksgiving.
With thanksgiving. Okay. Anybody?
With humility.
With humility. Greg?
In the will of God.
Now that, all these are very important, but I like that in the will of God, because that's important, because God answers his prayers according to his will. Not according to our will, but according to his will. Anybody else? Chris? With boldness. Did you see my notes? She typed. Yes, ma'am. Amen. That's good. Dean?
Personally.
Is that what you said? Personally. That's a good one. I never thought of it like that. Personally. And Kim? With faith. Amen. You guys are giving some good answers. Do I stop or do we keep going? All right. So we have found some ways that we are to, and how are we to pray. But my wife hit it on. Matter of fact, I need to clarify this. She did not type my notes, okay? She did not do those things. Matter of fact, she probably would refuse if I asked her to. But anyway, we are to come to the throne of grace with boldness. Turn your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 4. The book of Hebrews chapter number 4 will explain this for us. And I'm going to park here for a little bit and go back and forth a little bit too. But we are to pray boldly. Verse number 16, it says, "Let us therefore come," say it with me, "boldly." You guys missed out. I said, "Say it with me." Let's read this again. "Let us therefore come," what? "Boldly," okay, "unto the throne of grace, that we may attain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." So we are instructed here through the author here in the book of Hebrews that we are to come boldly before the throne. How many of you in your lifetime has come boldly to the throne of God? I'm using this illustration when I was in Pine Bluff, Wyoming here. I can't remember how many years ago it's been. It's amazing. I can remember so many things, but nothing falls in years or dates. Isn't that crazy about me? But anyway, I remember being up there, and I remember hearing these prayers of the gentlemen that were going up. And I began to illustrate a prayer one of the gentlemen was praying. And he did not sit on the fence with his prayer. I can remember almost word for word what he said. He says, "God, if I'm lying to you right now, strike me dead." I tell you what, that takes boldness to say a prayer like that. Not only was he saying things like that, but he's also saying, "Lord, we want to see your face." And so here I am sitting next to a guy that is praying for God to strike him dead if he's lying. Then he's praying, "God, we want to see your face." And I'm just over in the corner just quivering like a scared cat. "God, don't kill him." And I'm sitting there thinking, well, what would it be like if I was to see God's face? And I begin to ponder those prayers and how he was praying and begin to not really tear them apart, but to really contemplate on the context of what he was saying. And I look back on my life during this point in time. He understood what it meant to come boldly before the throne of God. And he did so in such a way that it made an impression on my life. God wants us to come boldly. He doesn't want us to come in as a weak Christian. He doesn't want us to come in as a pansy. He wants us to come in as a bold child of God. That's his desire for us. So we are to come boldly before him. There are three ways that I'm going to give you that we should begin to pray in our lives. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Luke. Chapter number 11. And this here is, again, it's not saying the word boldness here, but we can put boldness in here and begin to understand what it means with this. But in the book of Luke, chapter number 11, verse number 9 through verse number 10, it says, "And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you, seek, and ye shall find." First of all, I got to stop there because we live in an age today where preachers will get behind a pulpit and say, "You name it, you claim it." Okay, that's not how God works, okay? And so they're misleading people in prayer, and they're teaching them a false thing about prayer. Okay, "God, I want a nice cherry red Corvette, and I want it tomorrow morning before I wake up." And that's how they are teaching people to pray. My prayer isn't for a red cherry Corvette. Mine would be for a couple of guns and things of that nature. That's what I like, okay? Just seeing if you guys are awake. So let's begin to read here again. It says, "And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." When we pray with boldness, the first thing that we must do is ask God. I remember as a child growing up that I would begin to ask my parents for many things. And they would agree with me and they said, "Yes, you did." And I would come to them because I wanted something at that particular point in time. And there was something that I wanted here a while back when I was probably about the age of 12, if I can remember right. I remember riding my bike that wasn't a very good bike in my mind. It wasn't cool like everybody else's cool bike. It didn't have the mag tires on there. And if you're my age, you know mag tires are really cool back then. And I didn't have the cool tires. I was an uncool kid on an uncool bike wearing corduroy pants. that were slacks at that point in time. By the way, corduroy pants are back. I saw them last night at the store. Amen. But I remember riding down the street, and I was riding down 26th Street, and I can remember this house to this very day. I can remember the guy. He was an elderly gentleman. Matter of fact, Brother Smalls, you remind me of him. You really do. And I can just remember him, and he's a very kind gentleman. And Jeff, you might remember him. He had his bike shop in the back. But anyway, I remember riding my bike by there, and I saw this nice chrome bike with black mag wheels. And I'm like, oh, I saw the bike that I wanted. And it just went off like, oh, I'm never going to get it. I'm never going to be able to afford it because it's chrome. It's got mag wheels. And it's like, oh, it's there. It's within my grasp, but it wasn't in my grasp. Why? Because I didn't have any money. I was a poor kid. Feel sorry for me? Mom's laughing. I was a poor kid. So you know what this poor kid did? This poor kid went to his rich mother. I didn't go to my father because he would say, go to your mother. But anyway, I begin to go to my mom, and she doesn't remember these things. I remember certain things. And I begin to ask my mom. And I remember the first time, Mom, I saw this really cool bike. Can I please have some money? Well, how much is it? It's $40. Well, I didn't know how much $40 meant at that time when I was 12 years of age. I didn't know how valuable it was. And now that I'm working and I understand the value of a dollar, I would have said no. But anyway, I begin to ask her. And Mom would turn me down many, many times. But I knew how to work, Mom. I knew how to ask, Mom. And I began to not give up on the situation. And so there was a time during that conversation within a day or two that I began to become bolder in my asking her and begin to present my case towards her even more. And after I began to she was able to see my boldness. She was able to see, hey, yeah, he really does need this. What did my mom do? My mom gave in and she gave me the money. And I rode the bike. And now I was riding a chrome bike with mag wheels. And I was the coolest dude within this parking lot. That was it. But what would happen if I had never asked? I would never have received. See, when we're coming to God, when we're coming to Him boldly, God wants to come to Him and He wants us to ask. And He doesn't want us to ask just one time. We need to be persistent in our asking. Because He wants to see how much do we really want this thing in my life. My mom probably gave up on me because she got tired of me coming to her and asking her every single day. But I did not give up on asking her because I wanted this bike very much so in my life. And I didn't give up. And so when we come to God and we come to Him boldly, we must ask. We must say, God, I need this thing in my life. I need this. Do you not see the need for me, God? And keep asking Him. Keep asking and keep asking. Don't give up. Be persistent in asking for these things. It says, I say to you, ask. That's the number one thing that we come to Him. We ask Him. And the other thing it says, and it shall be given to you. Seek. That's the second thing. You must seek. I knew where to go. I knew that if I was able to go to my mom and seek her, that eventually she might give in. She could have said yes. She could have said no. But I sought her almost on a daily basis for about a week. See, God wants us, when we're asking Him, He wants us to come to Him and seek Him. Seek Him. Seek who He really is. The third thing that we see here, it says knock. Knock. I do a lot of door knocking. Because of my job, I collect a lot of past due water bills, and I got to go up to the door and I knock. And I remember the very first time that I went up to the door and began to knock, my knock was like this. Can you hear that? Can't hear that, can you? But I'm knocking. God wants us to come to Him, and He wants us to knock. And we need to come and knock. Say, hey, God, I'm asking you, I'm seeking you, God. Now I'm knocking on your door. I'm coming to you boldly. God has asked us, He says here, ask. These are the words of Jesus. He says, I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened to him. See, God wants to answer our prayers, amen? But there are some conditions on how we are to come to him. We must ask, we must seek, and we must knock. When's the last time that we have asked God? When's the last time that we really seeked God? When's the last time that we are knocking on heaven's doors? Amen? That's what we need to be seeking in our life. This is how we are to pray boldly before him. What are we to pray for? Have you ever asked that question? What are we to pray for in our lives? What are we to seek God in an everyday situation in our lives? I'll give you one that I think is very important. What are we to pray for? Number one, that we don't give in to temptation. Who fights temptation on a daily basis? Without a doubt, everybody in here fights temptation on a daily basis. Do you know what? We can have victory through that. Now, let me rephrase this. Do you know what? We have victory through that? We just got to ask God. And we got to seek God, and we got to knock on heaven's doors. That we are delivered through temptations. Every morning I wake up and I have my time with God. At the end of my prayer, I always say, God, deliver me from my temptations. Let's turn back to your Bibles, to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 4. The book of Hebrews, chapter number 4, again. We can have deliverance through temptation. And so often we might forget in our lives that Jesus Christ was tempted far above what we've been tempted with. Let's read this here. It says in chapter number 4, verse number 15, it says, For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points, listen to this, tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So let's think about this. The very things that you have been tempted with in your life, whether it be through financial gains and things of that nature, whether it be through perversion, whether it be through adulterous situation, he was tempted far above what man was tempted with, but yet did no sin. Why? Because he's God. He knows no sin. He was delivered from sin. Could he have? Definitely. But he didn't. But was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Christ was delivered from sin. Christ was tempted just like us, but he did not give in to the temptation. He was tempted far above us and never sinned. So let's begin to ask God for deliverance from our temptations in our life. I don't know your temptations. You don't know my temptations. But we all have them. Amen? But I serve a God who can deliver us from every single one of them. I serve a God who can give us victory over our temptations so that we would not give in to those things and commit that very sin that we should not commit in our lives. The problem is, and don't take this in a wrong way, but we're not tapping into the ability of the Holy Spirit. And we need to tap into him. So we need to pray for deliverance from temptation. What else are we to pray for? Well, turn your Bibles to the book of James, chapter number 1. Just over a few books. The book of James, chapter number 1. You know, we live in a society today that, without a doubt, we have a lot of wise men and we have a lot of wise women. And a lot of this wisdom that these men and women consist of is earthly wisdom. It might gain you something here on earth, but in heaven it doesn't gain you anything. And so we need to be seeking and praying in our lives that God would give us wisdom. In the book of James, chapter number 1, verse number 5, it says, If any of you lack wisdom, does that fit anybody in here today besides me? Because I lack wisdom. And I know I lack wisdom. And so again, one of the prayers that I have to ask for, and you heard me say it this morning, I have to ask God that God would give me wisdom. Why do I need wisdom in my life? Because I don't understand this book to the fullest. Why is that? Because his thoughts are above my thoughts. And so I need wisdom in my life so that I can begin to understand the very words of God. I don't need to worry about seeking earthly wisdom because those things are going to come to pass. It's the heavenly, it's the spiritual wisdom that you and I need to be seeking in our life. And there are times that we lack that spiritual wisdom that we should be desiring in our life. But it doesn't stop here. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, what's it say again? It says, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So if you go to God, again, if you're seeking him boldly, and you're asking him, you're seeking him, you're knocking on his door, and you know that you lack wisdom, and you go to his door and you say, God, I need wisdom bestowed upon me from you so that I can help understand the things that you have given in this book for me. Do you know what God's going to do for you? He's going to grant you that wisdom that you've asked for. And we wonder why that we don't begin to understand the very words of God is because we're not asking God for the wisdom that we need to understand his word. There are men and women who have been saved for 20, 30, 40 years who don't understand the word of God because they're not asking God to give them the wisdom in their life to understand the very words that he's given us. And I must say this, they're robbing themselves of a great blessing. This word has enriched and has blessed my life beyond belief. And I know he's done that for you in your life. But we have to be honest with ourselves. There are brethren, there are sisters who have been saved for those years who has no understanding of God's word because they lack wisdom in his word. And so we need to seek God and ask him for wisdom. And once we begin to ask God for wisdom, he gives it to us. Why? Because we're asking. Let's go on. So we need to ask for deliverance from temptation. We need to ask that God would give us wisdom. Another thing that I need to point out here, we need to pray for us to be obedient. Who likes obedience? I do. I like it when my daughter obeys me. It makes life much easier in my household. I like those things. But let's face it, have we always been obedient to God? I'm the first hand. Folks, you're looking at an imperfect man. I have never been totally obedient to God. Chad, you're up here preaching and teaching. You're not supposed to confess your faults. I'm human. But we need to pray that God would help us to be obedient to him. Well, how are we to be obedient to him? Go ahead. Just stay on the book of James, chapter number 1. We'll verse number 22, and we'll read down to verse number 25. We are told that we are to be doing some things for God. It says in verse number 22, it says, but be doers of the word. Okay? So if we're told to be doers of the word, what are we to follow in? Obediency. If we're told to do something, what are we to do, folks? Do it. Do it. Do you know how many times I watch my siblings get spankings because of their lack of obedience to their parents? And I got spankings as well, okay? But they helped me not to get as many because I saw what would happen. But I got my fair share of them. Mom's probably saying you didn't get enough. But when you're told to do something, that person that's giving you that order or that command or whatever, however you might look at it, they expect you to do it. And so it says here, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. How do I best explain this verse? And the best way that I can explain this is when God has told us to do something, we are to do it. We're not just to come in here and sit within these pews and hear the preaching and just become hearers only and become, and I'm not trying to be derogatory in any way, shape, or form, but to become spiritually fat to where that's all we're doing. We're just hearers, 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 but we're not doing anything about it. You know, this book is our instruction book, and if our pastor or if an evangelist or if a missionary gets up here and they begin to tell us how we are to do things, it's not just so it can fall upon deaf ears. It's so that we can take these things and apply it to our lives so that we can go out and become a doer of the Word of God. Verse number 23, it says, "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds." So we are told to be a doer of God's word. And if we're going to become a doer of God's word, guess what's going to happen in our life? We're going to be blessed. Who in this auditorium this morning likes to be blessed? Okay, some of you don't. I will pray for blessings to come upon you. But we need to pray for obediency in our lives. Not that we just become hearers, but we become doers of His word. How are we to pray? Well, I showed you we are to pray with boldness. One thing I want to deal with this morning is turn your Bibles to the book of 1 John, just a few pages over. 1 John chapter 5. And this is something that, I'll be honest with you, this hits me between the eyes. Because there have been many times that I have prayed for stuff that I have lacked one word. You can probably say it in two words, but this is one word: confidence. I come to God, I ask, and I don't have confidence. You know, we need to have confidence when we ask for God. The book of James, 1 John chapter 5, verse number 14 through 15. "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us." Who says this morning that we needed to pray in God's will? A few of you folks said those things. It's so important that we pray in God's will. Not in our will, but we pray in God's will. Verse number 15, it says, "And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him." When we come to God in prayer, we need to have confidence, knowing that He's going to answer our prayers. I'm going to take you back again a few years in our life, and this happens to deal with my mother. And again, if you get tired of the illustrations, that's fine. I know myself and I know my family better than a lot of folks in here, so don't take no offense to that. I remember very specifically, we were meeting here on a Saturday night, and it happened to be one of the first times my mom had one of the devastating blows to her body with her feet, and her feet weren't doing very well at the time. And I remember one of the possibilities was if the foot was not able to heal, that the doctor would have to go in and they would have had to remove her foot. I don't know if any of you folks remember that. I know my family will remember that point in time. I remember we had a gentleman here for our revival conference, and it's the same guy that I went with in Wyoming and began to pray with. And I remember that he came in here and he began to, we gathered around our mom, and I don't know if some of you folks are in here. We gathered around here and we laid our hands upon our mother, showing that we're in agreement with this prayer. And I tell you what, Brother Phil, he began to pray for my mom and began to pray such things. He came to God with boldness. He was asking, he was seeking God, and he was knocking on heaven's door. And the one thing that I got out of that was, as soon as we got done praying, I had confidence in my Father that He would bring immediate healing to my mother's feet. She went to the doctor the next week. The doctor, as you know, did not remove her feet. See, we can have confidence in God, knowing that He will answer our prayers. We lack confidence in Him, don't we? But we have that confidence knowing that He hears us. You're His child. He hears you. So go to Him boldly. Go to Him asking. Go to Him seeking Him. Go to Him knocking on His door. Go to Him with confidence knowing that He's going to answer your prayer. Because He's a God who can deliver us from anything that we ask Him of, if it's within His will. That's the key thing. We must understand that. Now, it could have been God's will to have my mother's feet removed, but it wasn't. And that gave me such more confidence to go to my Heavenly Father more on a daily basis and to begin to ask Him for more things in my life that would benefit me for Him, for His glory, for His purpose. It's important for us to have confidence in Him. So we need to pray that God will remove our temptations. We need to pray for wisdom. We need to pray that we be obedient for Him. And we need to pray with confidence, knowing that He will answer our prayers. Be expecting God to answer your prayer. One thing I want to show with you, and I'm not going to give you any scripture here. Somebody said it here this morning, and they used the word personal. And I had it written down, but I didn't use it the way you said it. So we begin to pray for these things in our life. But I want to show you one thing, and I'm not getting this from Scripture. This is just my thought, okay? But take the time to pray for yourself. This is what we've been dealing with this whole message this morning, is praying for yourself. We begin to become consumed with a lot of things in our lives, and we begin to pray for this, that, and the other thing, and we're not praying for ourselves. We need to take time to pray for ourselves. I'm going to close with this. Be patient. Never give up on praying. Be consistent. Prayer is a tool that God has given us to help us to develop a relationship with Him. You're dismissed.